you ever feel like God's not exactly happy with you? Like no matter what you do, you just don't measure up? But down deep you ask, well, what does He really want? I mean, what does God want from me? You might be surprised by the answer, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues his message on the life of Abraham and what it really looks like to walk with God. Now, if you missed our last program, it'll give you some context for what you'll hear today. You'll find it on our website, livingontheedge.org, or maybe even easier, download the Chip Ingram app and hear it whenever you want. Well, now with part two of his message, Learning to Give God What He Wants the Most, here's Chip.
You need to understand, it is a journey. And you're going to pass a test, and you're going to fail. And you know what I like about this reality of Scripture is God doesn't say, gosh, this is the second test. Hey, Gabriel! Abraham's not really doing very well. You know, he didn't do good with the security one, and he's not doing good with this one. Let's throw him out and start with someone new. Does the text say that? Or is God understanding when you blow it and when He blows it? And out of His mercy and His grace, when you come back and say, Lord, you know, I should have waited on You, but I didn't. I'm sorry. You meet a God who's most high and merciful. And so he flunks test number four, or number five, and then we go to test number six. And this is the test of obedience. And you might jot chapter 17. Chapter 17 is pretty interesting, and those of you that have been around church for a while, you've heard this word a lot, and you just sort of skim right over it. And some of you, like me, that never opened the Bible until like you're 18 or 25 or whatever, God asks him, again, he makes this covenant, and God again reaffirms, Abraham, I'm with you, and I'm going to do this. And so then God says, let's seal the deal in a very special way. And the test here is, are you willing to trust him when he asks you to do something that doesn't make any sense? And so let's get all the sort of the biblical thinking out of the room just for like a minute. And imagine being Abraham. And you're following and you're learning. It says, okay, Abraham, now here's what we're going to do. I want you to circumcise yourself, all your servants, all the men, and your boy. What? Yeah. Could you give a little instructions on this one? Yeah. That'd hurt. Yep. I mean, you know, we kind of, well, I don't want to get too graphic here. But, I mean, think how weird that would, like, are you kidding me? I mean, what's this got to do with worship? I'm telling you, God, on your journey of faith, will ask you to do some things that don't make sense. And he'll make it clear that may not be his will for anyone else, but for you it is. Will you trust him? Chapter 20, he goes back and revisits test number one on security, and he fails that one. And here's, are you getting to see it? It's a journey. It's a human. It's a God who loves. And then finally we get to the final exam. And the question is, will you trust me with everything and everyone in your life? And by the way, you don't get to the final exam like this until you realize all these things have been leading up to it. And so God makes an outrageous, absolutely outrageous request. And from the culture of the day and the way that other deities were worshipped, this was not too bizarre because many of the Canaanites and others were practicing these kind of things. And so the outrageous request is, okay, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. I'll show you on a mountain that I'll show you. And then it's very interesting. He's really grown. The boy's about 13 now. He's seen that God keeps his promises. We'll learn from the book of Hebrews a little bit later that he believed that if God promised it's going to come through Isaac, that if he does this, God would actually raise him from the dead. And then he takes, after his obedient response, he takes a long walk. It's a 3-day journey. He's got a lot of time to think about, do I really want to follow this God or not? This is way too hard. I mean, this is the pinnacle. See, what God knew is that boy that he longed for, little by little, was usurping the place and the role that only God can have for us to be healthy. And that boy, just like can happen in our marriages or with our kids or with our jobs or with our money, it becomes an idol. And God knows that anytime you have an idol, anything or anyone that takes his rightful place as the king and master and Lord and CEO in your life, what he knows is it'll destroy the idol, it'll destroy you, and destroy your relationship with him. So he brings a test and says, hey, I want the boy. And then they built an altar. In the moment of truth, he takes the knife and he brings it up. That's where God comes through. When we surrender everything and everyone. And then listen to the reason. Then the Lord said, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. I have a friend that's had a tremendous impact on my life who's a writer. And he wrote about this issue of obedience and faith. And he said that when God calls us to risk, he means risk. And it can cost us all that we have. But when we take risks with God, we gain all that he has. We can never know God and his power and love without taking risk with him. It's impossible. Risk demands trust. In fact, risk is another word for trust, a trust that calls for us to give up our control and our security to rest in his control and his security before we fully know what that means. It wouldn't be trust if we knew what the risk means for us. And then Bill Lawrence writes, that's the key to knowing God. We have to trust him before we know what trusting him means. What did Abraham know? What happened in his heart? What happened in his journey where he actually came to the point that he could believe that God is so good and so powerful and so kind and so faithful to his promises that it was safe to even sacrifice his son? And I want to suggest, as you look on your notes, that Abraham's confidence in God's promises and God's character were the secret to his surrender and reward. It wasn't that he was better. It wasn't that he's higher. It wasn't that he's different than you. It wasn't like Abraham brought up the knife and then the movie script stopped and he pulled off his robe. Bum, ba, bum, Superman. You know, he had an S on his chest. He's not really like you. He can just do it. That's not it. Abraham had a great God. He learned the lessons, even the ones that he failed. What he believed was, God's promises are always true. God's character is always trustworthy, no matter what he asks. Whether it's about protection, whether it's about my possessions, whether it's about waiting, whether it's about a relationship, whether it's about a decision, no matter what he asks, the safest, best response is to trust him. The New Testament picks up the theme. Speaking of Abraham, it said he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. In other words, he didn't stumble. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice, being fully persuaded that what he promised, he, God, was able also to perform. That's what I need to believe. That's what you need to believe. When it gets scary with your finances, when it gets scary with one of your kids, when it gets scary and you're single and you keep getting older, when it gets scary, when you feel God nudging you to relocate, but you don't want to, and listen to him. Notice it says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 summarizes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've developed this phony Christianity around America and many parts of the world where we think being a Christian is being a little bit nicer than most people, being a little bit moral than most people, and going to religious services and patting each other on the back thinking, oh, that's a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a little bit nicer, I don't cuss as much as I used to. I even went on a mission trip once. I gave some money to Haiti, aren't I good? Being a follower of Christ is believing in God's promises and God's character to the point of risk. First and foremost, accepting the biggest risk that you're going to turn from your sin and allow him to forgive it and receive eternal life. And then say, I'm going to go on a journey of actually following him. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him. It's risk. It's trusting. But notice that the passage goes on to explain. For he that comes to God must believe two things. First, that he exists. That he really exists. And not just that he exists, but who he really is. That he is faithful. That he is good. That he is powerful. But not just believing that he exists, but he is, would you circle in your notes that word, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I dare you to read Genesis chapter 12 through 22, and every time Abraham takes a step, in fact, even when he blows it, when he messes up, God appears to him, and each time, what's he do? He expands the blessing and says, Abraham, just trust me. The number one goal of God in your life is that you would learn to trust him. It's progressive, but with everything and everyone. And here's the deal. Here's how this really works. Surrender. Here's what we learned from Abraham. Surrender is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. Surrender is not like the few, the proud, the Marines, the one kid in the youth group that's willing to really stand up for Christ, and the one business guy who's willing to step out, and the people that go on short-term missions, and some guy that leaves the business world, or some woman you go into full-time ministry. No, surrender is for every single follower of Christ. And if you can imagine a kind and benevolent, loving God that's already demonstrated by dying for you, and imagine an ocean full of blessings because he's your father and he cares about you and knows you and where you've been and where you're hurt and what you need. And he has all these blessings because he's your father and he wants a relationship and he wants to help you. And there's this huge PVC pipe, okay? Really big, and the blessings flow through it, but you need to hook it into your heart so you receive them. You know what the PVC pipe is? Surrender. Surrender is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. The greatest compliment you'll ever give to God, and what he wants the most, is for you to say, Dad, Papa, Abba, I trust you. I trust you with my money. I trust you with my singleness. I trust you in my marriage. I trust you with this troubled child. I trust you to give me wisdom. I trust you with this relocation. I trust you even though I'm out of a job. I trust you. And so what I want to do is I'm not going to read two chapters to keep the devil away. I trust you. I want to know you. And I want to talk to you and I want to read this book because I want my heart and your heart to be connected. I want to know what your promises are. I want to love you and get to know you. I want to share my life. I want to see what you want to do in me and through me. I want to fulfill your purpose and my destiny in this world. And God says the channel through which that happens is trust. The Apostle Paul would really summarize it in one verse. He's going to say, I urge you therefore, my brothers and my sisters, in view of God's mercy, the 11 chapters of grace and love in Romans, to offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual service of worship. Would you underline in your notes, offer your body? We started with the question, what does God really want from me? If there's a God, what's he really want? Here's what he wants. You. Yeah, I mean, your actual physical body. He wants you. Your eyes, your hands, your heart. And then notice what to say. This, underline the word, this is your spiritual service of worship. And when he has all of you, the dominoes will fall. He'll show you what to do with your future, your time, your relationships, your money. But why? For your good. And so that you fulfill his purposes. Jesus put it this way. He said, surrender is the key to true spirituality. And he gave an agricultural example in John chapter 12. He says, unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it remains by itself alone. In other words, if you take a grain of wheat, keep it out here, but if you bury it, let it die, then it brings forth much fruit. And he says, that's a picture of the spiritual life. And then he goes on in verse 25 to say, there are some people that even though they say, God, I love you. I want to follow you. They say, God, here's my fists and they're clenched. I want to follow you my way, my time, my conditions, my agenda. I'm not going to move out from my girlfriend. I'm not going to let you mess with my money. And I've got my future pretty well laid out, but I'd really like to get into heaven. And if I get into ICU, I could really use some help. But it's on my terms, of course. And you know what happens to the PVC pipe? the valve just got shut off. See, you can either allow him to be God or you can be God. And if you're God, you get to rely on all the resources you have. And what I'd say is, good luck. Or you let him be God. And he's all powerful. I have a stack of emails about like that. And almost all of them said, in fact, I've got one up here. It says, Chip, I want you to know I'm all in, but I'm scared to death. You know what? I think that's being honest. If you're single and you're living with someone, or you know the relationship isn't right, and you know going all in means you're going to break off that relationship, it's scary, isn't it? If you're all in and really, when you're honest, your kids have captured your heart and you live for your kids and they're the little idol in your life, what if you give them to God and what if he doesn't take good care of them? I mean, that doesn't make sense logically, but emotionally it does, doesn't it? See, I think what I see in Abraham is a man who chose to believe, and he did it very imperfectly. He had good days and bad days. He passed some tests. He failed in others. But the intent of his heart was, I want to know you. I want to trust you. And he risked, and God honored it. What is it that God wants from me? Number one, all I am and all I have. That's kind of a summary. You kind of got that one already, didn't you? Number two, for those who love Texas Hold'em, you can probably complete this one for me. God says he wants my faith. He wants me to say, Lord, I'm all in. He wants you to imagine the chips of your life, every area, and push them to the center of the table. God, I'm all in. I was thinking about what that really means, and I came across something from Chuck Swindoll that was really encouraging. It was something that he read and passed on. And it's a story of a man, best I can figure, he's middle-aged, and his wife has died. Let me just read it to you. It's told through the lens of his brother. He said, my brother once opened the bottom drawer of his wife Janet's bureau, and he lifted out a tissue wrap package. It was an exquisite silk, handmade piece of lingerie with a trim of lace around the top. The price tag carried an astronomical figure and was still attached to it. You see, Jane had bought it in their first trip they ever went to New York City 8 or 9 years ago, but she'd never worn it. She was saving it for a really special occasion. Well, my brother thought to himself, I guess this is the occasion. He took the lingerie, put it on the bed along with the other clothes that he was taking to the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material, and then he slammed the door of the drawer shut and screamed, don't ever save anything for a special occasion. My fear is the great majority of all the Christians are saving yourself for a special occasion. And this subtle lie that someday, some way, when finances are better, when the market's different, when our kids are a little older, when I finally get married, I'm really going to step out. I'm going to have a radical faith. I'm going to really follow Jesus like never before. And someday, some way. And you're just like this wrapped in tissue paper with the price tag still on it. And we will bury you. And you will have never had the courage or the faith to unwrap the package that God placed in your heart to become the man or the woman or the parent that God wanted you to be, because he wanted to change your world through you. And I think that would break God's heart. Surrender is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. And so you have in your a little action step, and it's a blank check. And for some, your eyes and your body language have told me, I've already done this, but I need to commemorate it. And for others, today is going to be one of those defining days that you'll say, I can still remember where I was, and I told God, and I was scared to death, I'm all in. And I remember I told God, I think you could take better care of my life than me. I surrender. I signed the check. I'm all in.
So let me ask you, are you willing to sign the check? Are you willing to say to God, I'm all in? Are you willing to take the chips of your life, your future, your family, your money, your dreams. And believe today by faith that God is so good and so kind and so loving that the smartest, wisest thing you could ever do is to push the chips to the middle of the table, to sign that check and say, God, I'm all in. Surrender is indeed the channel through which your biggest and best blessings flow. I will tell you, you will never regret this. I will tell you that your life will make some major, major changes. And I will warn you, it will be with some real tests and challenges, but you'll never regret it. Let me just give you an action step. Are you ready? Because, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't be in the same room together. Go to livingontheedge.org and click on the I'm All In button. And you can sign that check, print it out, and remind yourself, just like we did to the people at church, on this day, you said to God, I'm all in. And God's biggest and best blessings are going to come your way. And He's going to do a great work in you, and then He's going to do a great work through you. God bless you. Go to the website, livingontheedge.org, and click the I'm All In button, and let us help you keep your commitments to God. You'll never regret it.
Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, Learning to Give God What He Wants the Most, is from his series, Momentum, How to Ignite Your Faith. From the base camp of Romans 12, Chip leads this Old Testament trek, exploring the lives of some of the most famous men of the Bible. From Abraham and Joseph to Moses and Daniel, Chip helps us appreciate how these men of faith lived out the practicalities of true spirituality. And with continual encouragement, Chip fires the momentum of our own faith journey. Now, Momentum is one of those series you're going to want to keep handy and listen to from time to time, because these lessons from Chip are well worth revisiting. For your convenience, you'll find all of the discounted Momentum resources on our website. For pricing and ordering information, just go to livingontheedge.org. Or we're always happy to talk with you when you give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, it's an exciting day today. People are going to make that commitment, and they're going to sign that check, and they're going to start a whole new journey for their life. Now, how can we come alongside them?
Well, let me speak as a pastor. Number one, tell someone. You know, just like when you came to Christ, tell someone, you know what? I prayed to God, I'm all in, like Abraham, Romans 12:1. Number two is you have to get the fuel of God's word to give you the strength to carry out what you just did. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, first you open the Bible on your own, you make sure you're in a good Bible teaching church. But for a lot of people, that's going to be a journey figuring that out. Go to livingontheedge.org, and this R12 life, this pathway, we've created a way on the website to get you going. So there's abbreviated messages on video, there's Q&A, there's things about, like, you know, I'd like to be all in, but, you know, my wife's not really ready for that, or what do I do if I'm afraid? We have all the resources to help you walk through the journey of living the all-in life, and they're free of charge. We want to help you. We want to help you grow. livingontheedge.org, click I'm all in, and then say, Lord, help me to become an all-in Christian. And the resources are there to get you started.
Thanks, Chip. So all you have to do is go to livingontheedge.org and click on the button that says I'm all in. You'll find the entire collection of R12 resources, encouragement, and other online tools to help you stay on track with your new commitment. The web address again is simply livingontheedge.org, and click on the I'm all in button. Now, if you're ready to take the next step, let me remind you that all in is the intention, but it's in community with other believers that you really make progress. So be intentional. While you're on the website, take a look at the small group video resources we have for you there. Text a few friends, call a couple neighbors, or set a time for your family to be together and dig in. You'll be glad you did. Just before we close, would you stop for a moment and offer up a prayer for Living on the Edge? We've never seen a greater need for God's truth to go out than right now. And by God's grace, Living on the Edge has been able to provide encouragement, teaching, and personal discipleship resources to more people than ever before. So thank you to those who support us through your prayers, because prayer moves God's heart, and we're very grateful. And on behalf of Chip and the entire staff here, thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.